Thank you. And thank you for the organizer, especially Nathaniel, having two bike rides and improved the bike ride for the second time with a new bike. Usually, like I talk about the axion-like particle stuff combined with LHC-related topic and the KM factory stuff. But like today is like more focused on KM factory because it's a sensitivity frontier workshop. And so, but like this work is pretty much very preliminary work. So what I do is actually give an overview about what's going on in KM factories and then like what kind of the opportunity we can have using this kind of KM facilities for new physics purpose. Especially like KM factories is actually looking for super rare decay of the, like for example K plus decay into pi plus in new bar. This is searched by NA62. And then like the other search going on, this is long-lived kaon decay into pi naught new bar. And this is searched by Koto experiment. So both of them are the branching ratio of the like 10 to the like 2 for the K plus and then like or the actually the 8 is actually for the K plus and then the 2 for the K long times 10 to the minus 11. So it's super rare decay. And then like this is standard model prediction, so it's not of course measured. And then to measure this kind of the branching ratio, of course you can imagine you need a lot of kaons to produce. And this is actually a running experiment, and like this is clearly the sensitivity frontier. And what people usually do is that like okay, you may have some model which have let's say Z prime which produce the new kind of FCMC, then you expect a deviation in the rare decay, right? But what I'm trying to do is that actually that using this kaon facility and to discover a new kind of resonance. Okay, so this is a kind of the goal. So then like these two experiments are kind of neat experiment, I guess, especially Koto experiment. And so I think like this is useful to give an overview what kind of the experiment they are. Especially Koto experiment. This is particularly I'm working on, so I'm less familiar with NA62, but it's useful to present it to compare with. And especially Koto, it's very neat, so it took a while to extract a lot of information, so even trigger information is not clearly written, so I had to ask directly and so on, so I don't want to waste time for it, so I want to share the information I have. And if you have any idea, like any kind of the particle in your model or something, if you think you can be like this kind of particle can be tested these facilities, that would be great. So this is a kind of my goal of my talk. So it's like I just give idea and then like ask question about what kind of signal they can search, and then like a potential like just let's enhance the potential of this kind of experiment.
Are those numbers the standard model branching ratio?
Yeah, this is standard model branching ratio. So this is
charged one and two.
So this is 2. Let me write here. So this is 2 times 10 to the minus 11. 8 times 2 to 10 to the minus 11, and then this is 2 times 10 to the minus 11. It's basically coming from the same process like S D. And you have a spectator quark, and one of the diagram, for example, is like W exchange and Z and the neutrino. So the let's say this is an effective vertex G. So this should be larger because this is the branching. This partial radius is kind of the proportional to the absolute value of this process. But this is a CP value thing, so that this is an imaginary part. So clearly, this should be smaller than this one. So there is a famous relation between these processes by Yossi Neil and Ivar Grossman. And like these two experiments are looking at kind of same process, even new physics. This is standard model process, but if you have a new physics, there is some relation between these two rates. So it's two related experiment.
So you're going to say how many K?
I'll come to this point, but just to give you an idea, so far it's already the Kotto experiment have produced 10 to the 13 kaons. So that's a J-Park in Japan. So J-Park is a kind of the it's not the KEK, but J-Park is the acceleration facility in Japan, and this is the also sourcing the neutrino to the Super K. This is called a T2K experiment, and they also have this experiment on site. And this is CERN experiment, higher energy. They are producing so far is like the reported amount of kaons is 10 to the 11. So I think they can go to 10 to the 13 or 14. So maybe 13. But okay, it's a huge amount of number. Just to compare, the B factory just I learned in this conference, how much, Diego? It's like 10 million, I think. So 10 to the, yeah. It's 10 billion, I think. 10 billion. So K-long is much more. So. The energy of the beam. So energy of the beam of the this one is 30 GeV, and this is like order of 100 GeV. I don't remember. Maybe a few hundred, 400, 300. I don't remember.
It's
400 GeV.
400
GeV. Okay. So 400 GeV. So the size of the experiment is different because like the energy injection, the lifetime is pretty much the same, but because this guy has more boost because the energy of the proton is higher, so the produced K plus is more boosted. So the scale of the experiment is order of 100 meter. This is order of 20 meter. Yep.
Do you have any reference for theoretical papers about this?
I'm sorry?
Theoretical papers, calculation.
I don't have in my note, but like it's pretty normal. It's easy to find. But about the standard model prediction. It's I think like done by Burras and companies, but I'm not the expert on that. But
I did this calculation.
You did the calculation.
It was very long. Probably it was the first.
Sorry about. Okay, so I'm not the flavor expert.
No, it was so long ago. It was the Pangolin.
Okay.
Because you mentioned some other works, I'm just curious what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I may say bullshit, but because I'm not flavor expert, but I try to give you an idea about what kind of experiment they are. So, because especially Kotto has similar design experiment existed before, but the NS62 is kind of a new type of experiment, like a flying charged kaon. It's a new type of experiment. Okay, so, but before going to the detail of the experiment, I try to give you, of course, because I'm a theorist, I try to give you what kind of the theory I'm looking for, so which is axion-like particle, so ARP. And then like the Lagrangian I consider here is that effective Lagrangian I consider is this kind of thing. So I consider the ARP coupling to the gauge boson. Like a usual QCD coupling and also the W coupling. And that hypercharge also. So this kind of axion-like particle is pretty well studied. Axion-like particle is pretty well studied, but I think like this experiment, it's unexplored, but actually the axion-like particle with gluon coupling, surprisingly, is not really well studied, and that's what we found with Diego and the companies here, and like actually, many people study like more on the electric sector, and then like production is rely on the electric production, and then decay to photon or sometimes leptons. But actually, it's pretty like reasonable to have the gluon coupling. And once you have a gluon coupling, the phenomenology is totally different. For example, LHC phenomenology is totally different, like because once you have a gluon coupling, you can have a gluon fusion, right? Then the decay can be like a dijet or diphoton or Zs. And so on. So I want to focus on like all the couplings are switched on, and then for the kaon factory is also different because once you have a gluon coupling, there is the pi a mixing through this coupling, so the production from pion is possible. For example, the k can go to the pi and pi naught or plus minus, but neutral pion can flip to the axion by paying the mixing angle like this. So like because of this gluon coupling, like I can calculate the k long k on decay into the axion plus something without going detail of the long distance part and so on. So this is also nice to have this kind of coupling. Okay.
Does that necessarily beat the rate of decay for the W coupling?
This one, yes. That is important. Actually, Tonian and other either Brian Shoup studied that. Yes, this is a kind of that not loop suppressed, but that one is also important. So the coupling the production you're saying is using the W coupling, and then like a S, a D, and then like a E can do. Yes, this is pretty important too. Yep.
But the long distance piece will be larger than you just drew, no?
I'm sorry?
The long distance piece will be larger than the short distance piece. Is that correct?
Even for the like this thing, like K going to the using the pi mixing?
Yeah, call it that the long distance piece.
Larger means what? Like
larger.
Other than the loop.
Ah, okay.
It's like F pi over F.
So taking the same F, you're saying?
I'm asking, is it which one is the long distance piece is more?
Okay, I don't remember like the size of the W one, but this one, for example, I think just loop difference. So both of them have to pick up the CKM, and then like for example, if when I look at the K long to the pi naught A, for the gluon coupling case, I have to start from like a 10 to the minus 3, because this is a CP biorating. So original process is 2 pi naught. This is CP biorating process. Then I pay, if I flip to the A, I pay F pi over F A square. For the W mediated process, is also CP biorating because I have to pick up the imaginary part of this.
There is a loop factor.
Yeah, I think the one loop factor, but I don't know the quantitative.
It might even be worse than that. I mean, it might also go like an axion over W to some power, right?
Yeah, so that there is a loop coupling, and yeah. But I don't know the quantitative answer, actually. I have to check that, actually. Because I guess what I focus on this thing, yes. But yeah. But like this is a challenge.
What about k to 3 pi?
I'm sorry?
What about k to 3 pi?
K to 3 pi I should consider, but like for the simplicity of the analysis, I don't consider it so far. But eventually, this is something not studied at all
because
in
the
any experiment.
Is much bigger, right?
Yes, exactly. So like you said, this is actually the simple process, like a two-body decay, and then like eventually like you get four photons or two photons and the invisible. It's very easier to analyze, but like Asher said, the 3 pi is actually more, you may have more event because this is CP conserving process, so this is like all the 20% branching ratio, and then you can just flip one of the pi onto the A. Just saying that paying the same price, so this is actually you have more event, but of course you have to collect the event in the facility, so the acceptance will be different. But yes, like you can start from the larger number in this case.
I mean, the W loop, it does sound like what Nassan was saying is true, that you can integrate out of W and you'll get some higher dimension operator with 1/(MW).
Yeah. So G Fermi, Okay, so this kind of the Lagrangian, I want to write what kind of the relevant scale exists, including the LHC range. So this is a mass of the axion and decay constant. And then decay constant bound is still very preliminary, but just to give you an idea. So the There is several important scale, MZ, and then like a 50 GB, sounds weird, but 50 GB, and 10 GB. So this is due to the experiment. So the usual there is a usual resonance search, because once I have gluon coupling, you have a gluon fusion, and then decay to the diphoton. So usual diphoton search, like a Higgs discovery channel, is there, but starting from 50 GB. The reason why they stop at 50 GB, because they cannot apply the same analysis below 50 GB. They rely on the data-driven background estimate, but like the background is not smooth anymore below the 50 GB. So actually 65 GB, but it's a minor difference. So then like but above this value, you have very strong bound in this kind of model. And then like below 10 GB.
What's the FA that?
This is so once I take CI equal to 10, this is the only FA I'm very confident. The other FA bound is less confident, but this is like a 5 dB so far. Yeah, the resonance search. And then like below 10 GB, the flavor guys take a role. So below 10 GB, because the upsilon mass is around 10 GB, right? So this is the mass of the upsilon. And then, of course, like then you can imagine that, okay, there is a B mass and the kaon mass, blah, blah, and then like a pion mass. And then like let's stop around like, let's say 110 dB-ish. And then like, okay, so there are various flavor bounds exist, and then one of them I discuss, but like just small advertisement, the work with Diego, is that actually there is a there was a gap from 10 GB to 50 GB. Actually, not a strong bound exists. Like there is a lep bound. Lep bound is that, like let's say right, lep bound is super weak. The production is that like a Z goes to the A gamma, and the A goes to the jet. And of course, there is also photon final state, but now I switch on the gluon coupling, so the branching ratio to the hadrons are larger. But this bound is super weak. So, and like a decay constant is like a super low, like 10 GB ish.
Is that, isn't the model independent decay or bound on the decay of the Z stronger than that?
Model independent decay of?
We have a bound from up on the Z width. Isn't that stronger than the direct search?
Z width is. I think so. I think so. Yeah. I think.
So this Z to is this basically, if you want, is the same thing that.
No, this is below MZ.
This is below the previous Z on shell. ZK's.
Yeah.
We have measurement on the Z pole at left. It's exactly this. So this is like looking at the Z decaying into two jet and a photon.
No.
But you're asking that the width is.
I'm saying they have not a Z width, which is stronger, I think, than the decayed hadrons.
What is actually the accuracy? I forgot that.
2.3 MeV.
2.3 MeV. This one is at. What is the rough estimate?
If your FA is 10 GeV, it's more than
that. Yeah. No, FA is 10 GeV, and then like the width is at. Of course, you. Let's say that the production is from the. Production is like this, so the Z pick up that, for example.
So this bound controls like up to a decay constant of 100 GeV. So your normalization is a bit off, though.
100 GeV of the.
FA is, we can resolve all this off.
I
think it's actually true that the model and the Z width bound is stronger.
Okay. Okay, yeah, this I have to check. But like, okay, as a resonance search, this is the relevant one. And then like, then the there was a gap actually. It's quite large gap. For example, that one of the allowed parameter space is actually give you the 10 to the 5 picoband of the inclusive cross section at the LHC, but it's not excluded. So that was really surprised. But then like, we thought this is a problem, and then we tried to cover this region by standard model cross-section measurement. So this is like a, because standard model cross-section doesn't look for the bump. they just measure the amount of diphoton event, and they report the error. And they don't like do the data-driven background subtraction, because standard photon is their signal. Okay, so then like they reported the result. This analysis doesn't report the result below 50 GB, so that's we cannot do anything. But they reported the result, and we recast it. And all the few hundred GB bound we get from the cross-section measurement. Okay. And then, like, okay, below 10 GB, there are upsilons. So, for example, upsilon can go to, for example, the A gamma. So this is like the BB bar, so, and then like Z or photon off shell, and then like using the same kind of vertex, A is emitted and a photon. So this is like upsilon goes to the A gamma, and then A decays to the hadrons. So this starts from 10 GB, but of course around 10 GB there is a phase space suppression, so it's not that strong. But if you go below enough, like here, the bounds get stronger and stronger. Okay, and then like of course once you pass the B threshold, you can have like for example KA, and then like below K on you have K to pi A. And or maybe 2 pi A or those kind of things. So, okay, so there are a lot of flavor bound appears below 10 GB. And actually, before going to the K-on experiment, one more comment is that actually this region is still a bit weak, like 10 GB to a few GB, there is a weak bound. But actually, maybe the LHCb can do something by using diphoton trigger. So this is a question. Because like after Diego gave a talk at CERN, like they contacted us that they may be able to do that kind of the resonance search by using diphoton trigger. So the problem of the ATLAS and CMS is that they cannot lower the diphoton trigger. They typically have like order of 20 GB, and they don't want to decrease it that threshold because they have too much background. And then like why they can like LHCb can do it, because actually they are good at lower PT photons, because if the PT of the photon is lower than 5 GB, the main background you can guess is actually coming from the pion. But below 5 GB, the pion is less boosted, so they can distinguish from the real pion the photon from pions and the real hard photons. So then like they actually can see the low energy photon. So then if they actually have this kind of diphoton trigger with low PT, they may be able to see that resonance on this region. So this is like just a potential. But the problem is that they don't know the background yet. So they don't understand how much hard photon background exists in this region. But in principle, they have a sense that they can open up the search, because they can search for the, for example, BS to gamma-gamma. So this is like a standard model object for them. So this is a 5 GB object, and they are looking for the diphoton in this region. Okay, so there are many flavor guys here, so I cannot tell about everything. But let me focus on the kaons. Okay, and the kaons, I already told you that kaon can be produced. So actually, kaon can be produced by these two couplings, just to let me write again. So one is from the gluon coupling, so pi A mixing. Just like, okay, kaons twice and then pi, and the other pi, let's say in the case of Tivoli, you have A. Okay, so then you pay F pi over Freddy square. And second is that, as Nathaniel mentioned, that through the loop process using the W, and then like, this is A, and then like, okay, same stuff. Okay. And then, because of the kinematic threshold and the coupling, the decay is only either photons or invisible, right? So this is like a either gamma-gamma or invisible. And then like a parent particle can be like a K long or K plus. Okay. And then like a, of course K long is produced by Kotō and the K plus is produced by the NH62. And then like a, there are two final state. Diphoton final state is not possible to be searched at NH62. The reason why is because their search is not good at photon. They discard the event with photon. Their primary signal is K plus to the pi plus nu bar. And then like a main background of this process is pi plus pi naught. And then once they have a pi naught or the photons, they discard the event. And then like a, if we focus on the photon final state, the only useful one for the ongoing experiment is Kotō experiment. On the other hand, if you look for the invisible, actually NH62 is very good because they, of course, looking for the missing energy, like neutrino. This also can look for the missing energy, but this is not CP biotin process, so the branching ratio of the K plus to the pi plus pi naught is older 10%, so you don't have to start from the small value. So that NH62 is very good at the invisible decay mode. Okay, so yeah. Is that good so far? Okay, so.
Sorry, let me just ask a second.
Yeah.
But do you know which one of these two processes is most important?
Most important. Like in the end, like I only put a bound on the branching ratio of the, like without looking at this. I don't put in this parameter space yet. So just like what I get in the end, like optimistic reach is that the branching ratio of the k to the pi a goes to the diphoton is I'm like so far we get the branching ratio can be probed at 10⁻⁹. So it's pretty good. But of course we have to include more and more background. So but this is a just preliminary number. And like the recasting this result to this is of course depend on the coefficient and so on, and how much this is important and how much this is important.
And so you say this, that Kotō can do both diphoton and invisible?
Yes, in principle Kotō can do like a diphoton and invisible, but the invisible one, so okay, just to emphasize more, so invisible one is actually the NH62 is better because the let's take this as an example. So this is like a order of 20% branching ratio. And then you just transform in the same way. And actually the production of this is similar. The logic is pretty much the same. So I think that for the second case is also same. But you start from 20%. And then K long to the pi naught is 10⁻³. Then you pay the same amount. So and these experiment actually the NH62 is now more advanced than the Kotō experiment. So they are trying to touch both of them trying to touch 10⁻¹ branching ratio. So assuming that they are doing the equally good, the invisible final state is this guy is better because you start from the larger branching fraction. Okay.
Is that data with the two photons recorded in NH62 or they just throw it?
No, they throw it away, yeah. So that's actually the Yad was pissed, but yeah, so they have a huge background. Even like they try to veto the photon-like event, they have some like a dominant background of this standard model measurement is coming from the pi plus pi naught. So they want to discard all the kind of event. On the other hand, Kotō is only looking for photon. Like they cannot actually look for the charged particles, unfortunately. So it's kind of the complementary. Okay.
Right, maybe you said already, but how large can this mixing angle be with the pi zero?
How large means like how much FA can be lower, or
maybe, but I just
So that, like, if I take the current bound, let's say the.
What's your branching ratio of bound?
Branching ratio of the for example, current bound is like 10^-6 or something.
That's from the K plus.
I think both of them have a similar previous experiment. For example, have also like a pi plus photon. Not necessarily pi naught, but and they have actually I listed the number. So okay, let's do some exercise. So if I take the previous bound of the diphoton final state, so for example, conservative number is coming from the Fermilab K dev experiment. So K long to pi naught photon. The branching fraction is bounded by 10^-6. So the I start from 10^-3, and f pi over f a square, if I equalize to this, so like then I get 3.5 like this. So this is a mixing angle of the f a.
What does gamma gamma mean there? That's the non-resonant.
Right. So this is non-resonant. So this is like a. This is also something I learned recently. So this search is to look for the direct three-body decay. So k long not through the resonance, but the k long decay into the pi naught photon as a three-body. This is kind of the come from the Kayla-Lagrangian, and it seems like there was some discrepancy in the Kayla-Lagrangian coefficient and so on. So then they try to measure that kind of coefficient through the three body. And in that kind of experiment, they also reported like as a function, the result as a function of the invariant mass. So people recasted the result. So this is primarily looking for three body, but you can interpret it as a reason.
This is
K-tab? This is K-tab, yes.
Yeah. This has contributions from the K pi vertex and also from some higher dimension vertex in the Kayla-Lagrangian, you're saying, or?
This is, okay, I don't remember which operator, but yeah, some operator of the Kayla-Lagrangian predict this one. And then, of course, like this Kayla-Lagrangian not only predict this one, but also other final state. And like the measurement in the other final state has some discrepancy and so on. So I don't remember factor of 2 or 3. So then they try to measure this one. I don't know if this discrepancy still exists or not, but this is a primary purpose of this search. And then, later on, people are interested in like to reinterpret for the axiom-like particle, and then like people did it. Yeah.
Who reinterpreted that?
Hmm?
Who did that reinterpretation?
Okay. I think like as far as I know, like Tonya and company did that, but I don't know these are the first people. Also, like Kayun Choi did that, but I don't know who did the first. Okay. So okay, good to have a lot of questions. Okay, so by the way, like I don't know. I don't know what to organize the talk, but so first of all, why this process is small, 10^-11? Like this is like 10^-11 physics. Is because you have to pay G Fermi because it's a W-mediated process, and then like this is also the loop contribution is dominated by top, so top contribution is important. So you have to pay some CKM like a T, S, T, D, and also loop. So in the end, like the expected branching ratio is tiny like this. And then, so this is known thing, but this measurement is important because they try to measure one of the angle of the entirety matrix using only the Keon system. So, and this is already measured by B system. So they try the measurement of these are pretty important. Also, new physics contribution can appear first, like before the standard model contribution. So. And then I don't know how to organize the stuff, but okay. just one step before the experimental setup.
Sorry, maybe you already said it, but and then the thing that these guys are going to measure this thing with some precision?
This one?
Yeah. That's the claim of this experiment, that they were measuring it?
So first of all, of course, there are some new physics model which predict the deviation in this.
Yeah, but the standard model.
Standard model, yeah. Standard model, like this measurement, give you that unitarity triangle of the of this part, like beta, in the Kaon system.
So how close are they to seeing the standard model?
Sorry.
How close are they to seeing the standard model contribution?
N62 says that they analyze like the 2017, 2018 data, they expect like 20 events.
Yeah, already this release they were expecting more events, but they had like problems with the beam stability.
I mean, their one event was already enough with fluctuation.
I think ultimately they say they can measure that to 10%, the K plus.
Yeah. So the K plus one is they try to measure the this branching fraction with 10% accuracy. As far as I see the COTO status, they cannot see that good. They cannot only see maybe the future sensitivity is like they might be see like one event of this kind of thing. So it's not like a measurement of the 10% stuff. Okay. So the K long, and they're like, okay, this is like a tiny number. So they try to measure the like a 10 to the 2 times 10 to the minus 11, and then 8 times 10 to the minus 11 for the K long system and the K plus system. So then there is a measurement of various things. So for example, the BNL, I don't write the numbers here. But anyway, so there is a previous, of course, before NS62, there is a experiment, BNL, okay, unfortunately I didn't write, like E787, okay. This I have to check. I'll show you in the slide. But there is an experiment. But it's different from the NS62. And the NS62 bound is here. But they are not using the full data. So this is an experiment. So I think they are 10 to the minus 10 level. And then like there are, of course, there are many experiments, but like there are Fermilab, KTEV, and KK experiment, and finally COTO experiment. This is JPARC. These are experiments like designs are pretty much the same. So like scales are different, and like this is a Fermilab experiment, so the beam energy is stronger than the COTO experiment, but actually the experimental setup is very similar. They only look for the photon, and actually they even said that the calorimeter of this KTEV is transferred to the COTO. So, okay, so this is like a, and then like a, what they are aiming for is already like a Wolfgang mentioned that the NS62 trying to touch, of course, standard model value, and even more to measure the 10% level. Okay, but the COTO, I think the optimistic case is just touch the standard model value, just one event sensitivity. But of course, like they may be able to continue. Okay, so this is like kind of the history, and like I didn't know so much before, but like this is something going on as a sensitivity frontier and maybe useful for other new physics than rather than measurement of the branching ratio. Okay. And then so I'll tell you what is experimental setup. So experimental setup is kind of simple, especially for the COTO. For NS62, I'll show you the slide. But because I'm more familiar with Goto, I explain this one. So they have a 30 GB proton beam from the JPARC. And then they have a fixed target of the gold. And then like there is some collimator, Kelon collimator, and then about 20 meters away, let's say this is 0 meter, you have a detector. Like this. And then there's a hole, so on. And then the only like they want to measure is that the ECO activity. So this is like a cesium iodide ECO. And then like other than that, they want to veto the event. For example, they have like the veto detector of the charged particle, so charge veto. And here, of course, like here also, and also here. So basically, whenever they see the charged particle, like a pi plus and so on, they want to veto the event. So they really want to see the photon on the event or missing. This is different from NS62. The NS62 is good at the charged particle. So if you have some model or resonance decaying to the charged particle, this is not the experiment you should look for, but the NS62 could be relevant. And then the number of kaon, actually this is a kind of the mystery for a moment, it was a mystery for me. Number of kaon, I said, like 10 to the 13 kaons means not the kaon, number of kaon here, but the number of kaon here, because of course there is some decay. So the kaon people usually refer is that kaon, number of kaon, is this is actually the number of kaon people refer, not the here. This was actually took a while to understand what number they means. Okay, so on top of the charge veto, they also have a photon veto here. Also like behind, if they have, because if the pion escapes through the decay hole, like the beam hole, they want to veto the event. So they want to make sure that the system is closed. And then if they have a photon like a hit here, they also want to veto the event. So but what they look for is basically K long flies, and then like K long flies, and then K long decay some point, and then decay to the pi naught, and pi naught is visible, so, and then mu nu bar, and pi naught decays to the photon. And then like this calorimeter measure the energy. Okay, so very simple. But actually analysis is not so simple. Because like because it's a neutral particle, you never know where the Kelong decays. So you have to somehow get the information of the decay. Otherwise, you cannot reconstruct the full momentum of the pion or photons. So this is actually the kind of challenge for the new physics. Once you have the resonance with different mass, it's the system can be even more complicated. Okay. And then like the number of protons on target, the analyzed data is.
Sorry, but then they use like they do an assumption the mass of the pion.
Right.
Otherwise, they don't have enough information.
No. Or like a, you can do it two ways. Of course, in this case, like you only can assume that the pion is the parent particle of the two photons. For example, but I'm looking for example, four photon final state. Okay, and then like you have four photons, and then you can do two things. Like one of the two photons come from the pion, or the four photons come from the K long. You know that you can, but you need assumption to.
So you need to assume something about the kinematics and your test.
Right. Yeah. So this is the challenge to extract the information for axion-like particle. But in the end, like we can do it. And then like there is a calorimeter here. It's like a, you have you have like a just scatter meter of the system iodide. This is 2 meter size. And this is, sorry, I didn't say that, but this is order of 5 meter size. And the, usually people require that two photons are separated more than 15 centimeters. So this means like they can, in principle, look for order of 10 MeV resonance. And below that, like the photons are typically too collimated, so they may discard event, or the two photons look like one photon. So that this is why I stopped around 10 MeV. And then above, you may have enough opening angle, and then you can distinguish that two photons are actually two photons. And then like actually, other than this process, there may be a new physics opportunity up here. So that's why I want to mention the number of protons here. So the proton on target is like 10 to the 19 proton on target. So if the Gordon is here, he may be excited. But this is, you can also have this kind of production. So target material is here, and proton is flying. And then maybe axion can be produced like this way. This already studied in the NH62 paper. As a preliminary, it's just a prediction paper. But in this experiment, like of course, you could do it, right? So this is like a possible production other than hadron decay. And if you're looking for example, Z prime like particle, you can just do this. This is also possible. So maybe like this kind of experiment is useful for Z prime or the axion like particle production at the target and the fly a little bit. It's like a beam dump. But of course, there is no dump here, so you have to take into account the background, but it's possible to use that. Because you have so much number of protons, so maybe like a...
C2 has a dump mode, not in which
they may, they have a proposal.
Yeah, they want to put chunk of material.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So NH62 can actually see the higher energy particle because the beam energy is like a 10 times larger than the Koto. Okay, so yeah, before going to the maybe the detail of the analysis, I just want to show you that how the detector looks like for the Koto and also NH62. And then I want to show you that how the axion-like particle hunt is possible. Okay, so first, this is actually just to show you this is an existing experiment. This is running, okay. And then like the result on the paper is only based on the result here. So and then like the Morion, in the last Morion they show some result using the data up to here, but they already take the data like a factor of two more than like what they analyze even more young. So and then they still keep going, and then maybe they have 20 times more than they have now. So this is the ongoing experiment, and then like a detector, as I mentioned, is like this. So they have a proton beam. Oh, it's so bad, but let's see the slideshow. Okay, so they have a proton beam here, and then like there is a collimation, so charged particles are removed under the magnetic field and so on. So then like that particle which only can survive with that distance is K-long. So the K-long is beam is really K-long. And then like, okay, K-long enter here and then decay. And then this is at the measurement part, so they want to measure the photons here and then measure the missing, okay? This is what they're doing. And the vertex information is not null, so you have to somehow extract. These green sound ones are a lot of Vito detector for charged particles and Vito, like charged particles and the photons. So they have a status for the number of kaolins, and so on. So let me see. So this is a Koto experiment, and then you can see the very difference, big difference for the NS62. This is the NS62 design. So first, size is totally different. So previous one was 27 meter from the target to the end. But this is from order 10 larger. A beam is, I think maybe there is a summary here. Ah, yes. Okay. So they have a 400 GB beam. And then they have a K-tag detector for the charged particles. And then the charged particles beam enter here. And then this is a photon veto. So if they find a photon, they discard the event. Okay. And then this is the charged particle trackers, and then they measure the kind of the identification of the charged particles to distinguish whether this event comes from the mu plus or pi plus. This is crucial for them because they want to measure the pi plus nu bar, not the mu plus nu. So this is really important for them. And then they also put the photon veto here, and so on. So big difference is that, okay, they are looking for charged particles. The other one is looking for the photons.
How long is the decay length of the axion?
Decay length of the axion. So of course it depends on the mass, but I think long-lived particle, actually below the mpi threshold. So okay, first of all, above the 3 mpi, you have a hadronic decay, so the axion is prompt. But those kind of axion cannot be produced with pion because now you have to, the K-long mass is actually lighter than 4 pion. So it's if axion is such heavy, the B factor is more relevant. Then axion produced in this kind of experiment can be depending on the parameter space, it can be a 1 meter decay length or sometimes really long lived. For example, if you are interested in a QCD-like axion, 10 TB decay constant or much higher, it's pretty much invisible. So you just produce.
Do you ever have axions produced on the beam before, not just K-long decays, but other beam remnants that
Here? Or?
Just, exactly, in that part.
So this is something people already studied by NS62 people and theorists and the experimenters. They studied axion-like particle production here by using only photon coupling, and using this same coupling, let the axion-like particle decay in here, and then try to measure the stuff. But I don't know actually how they trigger the event, because so far they discard all the event with photons. So. But maybe they look for the other final state, E plus E minus or mu plus E minus, depending on the model. But they have studied the production up here and the fly and how much axion survives in this decay volume and so on. Unlike the Koto experiment, the beam itself is not 100% charged kaons. As you can see, the contamination of the pion is a lot. Actually, this is a dominant component. So they have, of course, K-tag, but still you have a large fraction of the non-K-plus stuff, like a pi-plus or protons and so on. I don't know the detail how to remove these charged particles in the end, but...
this is the contamination after the targon decay?
Not sure. It seems very bad, but there are two, the purification system. So I don't know this number means at which stage, here or here. If this is here, it's really bad.
Yeah, but when they give the number of kaolins, the 6% is
the 6%. Where is 6%? Ah, okay. So this I don't know actually which point they mean. So because like I'm sure about the what about the Koto, but for this I don't know. But like it's not easy to purify like Keilong, so in this case. Okay, so maybe in the last 10 minutes or something, do you have any question about the detector? And then I go on to the, how can we reconstruct the class process? Okay, yeah. Okay, so analysis is kind of the fun part for me. But let's see. So it's kind of the exercise of high school. So pretty advanced kind of high school. But okay. So okay. Let me focus on the. Let me focus on the K-long system decaying to the pi photon. And okay. This. And then like exercise is very, very simple, slightly non-trivial. So the signal I'm looking for is, let's say I define a problem. So MA is, let's say, larger, smaller than mpi. So I particularly take a benchmark of the like mpi over 3. So this is a benchmark I take. And then the signal I look for is that K long is flying and decay to the pi A, of course through the mixing, and then decay to the photon, and the photon, okay, without missing. If it's invisible, as I said, maybe it's better to use an NS62. So let me focus on that photon final state and then how much we can do. Okay. The background of this process is actually the without flipping. So it's very, very simple. So pi naught, and just decay into the photon. So in terms of final state, it's same, right? Just kinematics are different. And okay, so first of all, even before the new physics, so the reconstruction is non-trivial because you don't know where the K-long decays. You only have the information of the calorimeter hit, like 4 photons are hit, and that's it. You don't know where the K-long decayed. Of course, like it's decayed along the beam line, but the position, precise position of the Z, you have to solve by using the assumption. So what they do is that for the background, they assume, so let's take one pair of photons. So let me give a name. Let's see, of course you don't know which one is which, but so assume that the parent of particle, intermediate particle, is pion. So and then you solve for the decay point. So if you put the z position means like a z here. This is z. So you can reconstruct the full momentum of the photon once you fix the z, right? But of course it's unknown, so this is something you have to solve. And then you can do the same thing for you. Then impose one condition. This is equal to the pi naught. So this is actually what they do. So after this assumption, you can solve for z. And then let's say you can get the solution of the z pi 1. And then you do the same thing for the other photons pair. Require this photon pair invariant mass also should be known pion mass, then you get the solution, the other solution. And of course you have a combinatoric issue, but what you do is check the consistency between them. with some certainty. So if the two solutions of Z are closest to each other, the pair is the right one. Okay. So you have at least three pairing, like you have four photons, so you have a choice of three pairings. And also actually you have a two kind of solution, so because it's a quadratic equation, so you have two. So you at most like you have a 12 combinations of the like a Z pairing, but actually this algorithm pretty works pretty well. So you have a 12 combination of these, and then you pick up the one that like closest each other, and then this actually can give you the almost the right result, right pairing also the and also position of the Z. So this is how they manage to extract the information of the pi naught k long to the pi naught. Okay. This is that what they're doing. And then, of course, once the mass of the particle, intermediate particle, is different, like if the axion is an intermediate state instead of the pi naught, of course, some of the assumption is wrong. So you have to actually write a different algorithm to reconstruct the event. So,
do they use the
k-on
mass as a constraint?
Actually, k-tab use that k-on mass. So this is another way. So use four photon invariant mass and then like impose the four photon invariant mass should be K long mass and then reconstruct the vertex and then like look for the photon two photon invariant mass and then like check the now like the vertex is known by K long mass and then the pairing is actually recognized by the later pairing based on the pi on mass. Anyway, you need an assumption. Yeah, so in this case, you use an assumption for pi on mass, and then as a consistency check, you want to plot the invariant mass of the four photon for the, let's say, standard model reconstruction. Then you can actually see the peak at the k-long. So this is something that just to check if everything is working okay or not. And then, for the new physics, of course, this algorithm doesn't work because this is a standard model. And then, if I have an axion-like particle with this mass, the standard model is peaked, but the BSM event is like this because there is no reason to be peaked. It's because assumption is wrong. Okay. Then, okay. But to purify the signal, what we can do is that just remove the event here and just keep the event here because this is the coming from the standard model process. So and then you want to focus on the event here. But still, in this algorithm, we cannot reconstruct a peak. Then a second step. This is the first step. This is already proposed, and then they are using. And the second step is that for the axion-like particle reconstruction. So the approach is slightly different. So now we can use the information of the mass. The mass of the axion-like particle is most likely different from the pion mass. Then, for example, if the pion mass is much heavier than the axion-like particle, the two photons from axions are collimated. So if you have an event display, let's say you have this kind of thing. So naively, these collimated photons are coming from the A, and then these separated event photons are coming from the pion. Because the distance, actually more precisely, I can define the distance. The distance weighted by measure, photon 1, photon I, photon j, delta I. So delta ij is really a distance here, and then I put some weight of the energy. So this is like invariant mass. So if the invariant mass of the original particle is smaller, that this measure should be smaller. And if the invariant mass is the parent particle mass is heavier, the distance should be larger because it's correlated to the invariant mass. So actually, if I use this measure and take the closest pair, let's name 1, 2. This is actually 80% of the chance I get the right pair. So then if I get the right pair of the axion, what I can do is that, okay, the other pair is coming from the pion, then use the assumption, okay, so invariant mass of this system should be pion. And then this give you the information of the vertex. And then once I know the vertex, I can go back to these photons, and then I can get the full momentum of the photon 1 and then photon 2. Then I can see the peak. Actually, I can see the peak. So maybe I can just show the peak, and then let me finish. So in the end, by this analysis, I have still finite background of the pi. Pi naught, but the branching ratio I can prove is so far is 10 to the minus 9 level, which is, I think it's pretty good. So for this exercise, I set up the simulation like this. So maybe too much serious, but okay, wrong. But if you want to do this Monte Carlo, I'm very happy to share. This is a simulation of mine, and then this is like a one event display of that, like the four photon events.
Isn't that mathematical?
I'm not like aiming for the fast computation or something. I'm trying to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Okay. Detector resolution, of course, I take into account, and this is this is quite amazing for me. This is the data of this is an ECAR calculation. And once I take into account their ECAR resolution, this is a histogram, this is my simulation. So it agrees too good, actually. And then a standard model reconstruction of the four photon invariant mass is this one, something I showed on the board. This is a standard model pi-pi process, and this is an axion-like particle process. And as I said, you actually have a no structure for the new physics, but the structure in the physics for the standard model. And then you can just remove the part nearby K long. And then you can just do the two kind of analysis. One is already proposed standard model reconstruction, and the reconstruction for the axion-like particle. And then this is something I already said. So take the closest pair, and then look for the other pair, assuming this pair is coming from pi naught, reconstruct vertex, and then look for the axion-like particle, photons from axion-like particle. So the last one is kind of impressive for me. So you actually see the peak. So the sample I chose is 45 MeV, and actually you can see the peak at 45 MeV. This, of course, I don't use assumption, of course. And then I use a bunch of cuts and so on. So I so far only take into account pi-pi background. In principle, there is also 3-pi background. This is hard to simulate, but eventually this will be important. But for a moment, we only take into account a pi-pi background. And this is an efficiency or acceptance for the background and signal. So signal actually survives pretty well. But background is actually rejected a lot in this region, so 10 to the minus 5 level. So if the axion-like particle is prompt, the branching ratio we can prove is 10 to the minus 9 level, assuming that the K-long with the current number of K-long. So this is the result, preliminary result. Of course, there may be a significant background from 3-pion. And also, non-trivial part is actually the how prompt this axion-like particle is in this mass, because this mass range is typically, like Pratik asked, could be long-lived in the detector. So that's why a lot of beam dump experiment appears in this mass range. So I have to make sure what kind of parameter space this particle is prompt, or prompt enough in this kind of analysis. So this, like a recasting to the parameter space is to require some effort. But like this branching ratio bound is something independent. So
can you go above the final mass with the changing?
Yeah.
Probably your trick will become more complicated, no?
Actually, higher pion mass, higher out mass is difficult. So because the finding right pair is more difficult.
You don't get a good guess.
Yeah. So then, like, I have to go back to the like a Scott set. Maybe use the four photon invariant mass first to reconstruct the vertex, and then look for the two photon invariant mass. Check which one is most closest to the pion.
Yeah.
Then you can look for the other two photons later. So this is I haven't checked, but this proposal is not as good as in the low mass is really working well, but high mass is I have to still improve.
Have you thought about doing a non-prompt case?
Not yet, because this is more complicated. So I have to insert it's also complicated, but I have to insert Monte Carlo for the random process for the axion-like particle decay, but it's possible to include, but it's additional parameter in terms of the analysis. So it's really just branching ratio and the mass.
I think there is enough information, by the way, to reconstruct the decay line.
Information. Yeah. But so far, I'm assuming this analysis is fine. As long as the ARP decays within 10 centimeter. So boost is typically GB. So it's pretty prompt, but.
But your reconstruction assumes that it all comes from the decay prompt.
Right. Yeah. So that's why this analysis is fine up to the 10 centimeter, meaning what, if the decay is longer than 10 centimeters, of course, there is an experimental resolution, right, energy.
Yeah, sorry, but your kinematic reconstruction process.
I assume it's completely prompt, yes.
If it's not prompt.
If it's not prompt, of course, if it's 1 meter long, the reconstruction doesn't work. But even if the completely prompt, the reconstructed vertex has a smearing, right, because the measured energy of the photons have smearing, right? Because there is a finite.
You're really reconstructing the vertex to 10 centimeters? Is that what you're saying?
No.
What's the resolution on reconstructing the vertex?
So this can, come from the smearing of the eco.
Yes, I know, but what is it numerically?
Number, I don't remember. This is actually 10 centimeters, so yeah. So that's why, yes. So if, of course, there is always this kind of smearing. So within this uncertainty, the decay of the axion-like particle is allowed.
I'm saying, even if it's longer than that, there's enough information experimentally, I think, to event by event reconstruct the decay.
Yeah, of course. Some fraction of the event looks like that, like I said, so. Is that what you're saying, or?
No, there's a slightly different kinematic reconstruction procedure you could do.
Okay.
I believe to reconstruct event by event how far the axion went before it decayed.
Yeah, but okay. I don't know. It's not so trivial for me, but yes, if you have idea, let's. Okay, so let me stop here and then, yeah, that's a chaos. So it's also very simple, I hope. So this is we already did, using diphoton cross-section measurement, cover this region. And then what we are doing with Diego is that actually extending resonance search to the low mass, but not using the diphoton trigger. So this is using diphoton trigger. So this uses a diphoton trigger. But diphoton trigger requires, of course, some minimum PT of the photon. On top of that, separation. Right? Separation is important because, if you require that finite separation, then, what do I say? The mass eraser. Maybe, can I go up this one? So invariant mass that we can prove.
We have a question about the plot.
So that the invariant mass is given by this formula. So as long as they keep the finite threshold of the E1 and the E2 and the delta R, there is the lowest mass we can prove. But if they don't use a diphoton trigger, meaning that they don't have to impose isolation cut at the trigger level, but instead they look for the jet, the hard jet as a trigger, and then later on analyze this one, then we can see the lower mass. But the point is that actually, even with that, photon treatment in the Atlas and CMS requires in the end isolation of the delta R equal to 0.4 or something. Then what we are doing is that, so this is if you have a photon candidate, what usually people do is that, okay, delta R equal to the 0.4, and then within this area, the activity should be the hadronic activity or eco activity should be smaller than 10 GeV or something. But in this low mass resonance, let's say 20 GeV, and then the monojet trigger is that they require 500 GeV for the monojet. So what happens is that jet is this way, and the resonance is flying the other way with 500 GeV boost, and then split the energy to the photon. So each photon carries 250 GeV. So this 250 GeV, but if you have a delta R cut in the photon, the other photon is very likely to be in this region. So then we cannot see such resonance, but we can slightly modify the isolation criteria that I think is totally possible for experimentalists. So far, take just one cone along the candidate and then remove the candidate photon and then calculate some of the activity around here. But why don't you remove up to the second leading? If you remove the second leading, which is coming from this photon, then do the same isolation criteria. You can keep the signal, but kill the fake jet. And actually, we checked that using the Delphes level, but we can reproduce the first we reproduce the usual fake rate, and then we modify the isolation criteria, which means that we remove this photon and also this photon, and run the same isolation criteria. And then actually the fake rate of the jet is same. So then we can reduce the same amount of background, but keep the signal. So then we can look for the much lower mass. And then in principle, you can look for the separation with distance of the granularity. So it's tiny, tiny mass you can prove. Do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I have a stupid question about the why you're so worried about the promptness of the maybe I'm miscalculating. But
why promptness?
The only photon coupling, and you're saying that typically the action like particle of 40 MeV will be long lived.
If you go to I think TeV decay constant, it's not long lived.
Okay. Yeah, this is what I put.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, good.
Yeah. So if it's not long lived, you know that the vertex of the axion-like particle is different from the K-long decay. So then still I can reconstruct the decay point of the K-long using the pion information. But if the particle flies, you know, I don't know this information because
I guess that my question was would you probe much higher decay constant?
No, no.
If
it's too higher, the beam dump takeover. So, unfortunately. Yeah.
So, So in any case, your thing is relevant in a parameter space in which the constant is lower.
Lower, yes. Yes, only lower. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe, I'm just saying, maybe it's not worth it to...
But like, okay, the branching ratio bound is something model independent, right? So then, like, if I provide this information, maybe some people come up with a model and then recast this information or something. But for if I take this particular model, yes, I agree, it's tend to be long-lived. Yeah.
No, but not for a TV decay constant. This is what I'm saying. If I take a TV, unless I miscomputed, I get something that I don't know.
It's super long-lived, I guess. How much?
Okay, maybe centimeter. Not for you, it's need to decay.
10 centimeter, yeah. Okay. You get maybe 100
so
meter
what's
or something.
What number for TV?
I get okay. Depends on the anomaly. With anomaly one, I get 10 meter.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's not a disaster.
It's not a disaster, but yeah.
For 40 MeV.
Yeah.
So it depends on like the anomaly square.
Right.
What's the energy of the kaon?
So we're not scared.
Energy of the particles?
Kaons, yeah.
Energy of the kaon. Yeah, that's a good point. So it's typically GeV, like a few 1-2 GeV. So on the other hand, like the NA62 has much higher energy because like original proton beam is 400 GeV. And then like I expect an order of 10 GeV at least. Yeah, so that's why like the decay volume is much bigger than like a koto, I guess. Yeah, okay.
Well, if you have any questions, let's thank Terry for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so there are